Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
We turn to Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, please. Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. Jesus is speaking and he says, "The time has come, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." And if we go on to verse 21, "They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, 'What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' 'Be quiet,' said Jesus sternly. 'Come out of him.' The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, 'What is this? A new teaching and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him.' News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee." Let's just pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. And we pray now that you will open up your word to us by your Holy Spirit. Father, we thank you, Lord, that your word is life. It's not just information. It's not just interesting. It's your word is something that can change us. And so we pray, Father, that you will reveal your truth into our hearts and our lives this morning. And we will receive that word by faith. In Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen. The message of this year that Pastor Judith and Pastor Andrea have been bringing has been the rule and reign of God in our lives. Not just his reign over our lives personally, but the authority that he gives us to rule and reign over other people's lives, and indeed in the society and indeed in the nation. And what I want to speak about this morning, if we could have the heading up, is kingdom authority. Now, you can't rule and reign without authority. If there is no authority, whether it be the home or a nation, then there is no rule and no reign happening. And we see it in countries like Somalia. In Somalia at the moment, there is no effective government and there is chaos and anarchy. The country is pretty much run by pirates and warlords. And they do their own thing, and the result is that there is chaos and anarchy in that country. And in the last 10 years, 1 million people have died through disease and starvation because nobody is taking control of the situation and nobody is exercising authority. And when you have that situation, you can have it in a home. You can have it in a school. You can have it in a church. You can have it on a housing estate where there is no authority and no rule. Then there is chaos and anarchy and people get hurt as a result. And when Jesus came in Mark 1:15, that verse we've read just a moment ago, he said, "The time has come, the kingdom of God is at hand." And he immediately began to demonstrate kingdom life. And what he did was he taught with authority, he drove out evil spirits, he healed. And the aspect that struck people was the authority that he exercised his ministry. He came to an evil spirit and he didn't just say, "Well, I suggest it would be nice, would you, if you don't mind, come out of this person." He commanded. He spoke to the evil spirit and he said, "Come out." He gave a word of authority. And this is what struck the people. If you turn on to Luke chapter 4, Luke chapter 4 and verse 36. All the people were amazed and said to each other, "What is this teaching? With authority and power, he gives orders to evil spirits, and they come out, and the news about him spread throughout the whole region. Now, commands come from authority. Okay? Now, we just need to look at this word authority for a moment, and if we can have the definition of authority up, these. Authority is delegated power and the right to use it. Commands come from authority, and authority by definition is strong. Where there is weakness, there is no authority. If a parent or a teacher or a prime minister, whoever it is, or a general in the army, if they're weak, then they're not going to be able to exercise authority. And therefore, if you're going to have authority, you've got to have power. And if we can just look at those three words by themselves for a moment, look at the word power. You can't exercise authority from weakness. Weak authority is no authority. I suppose the example that immediately comes to mind when I think about this is the United Nations. We have a respect for the United Nations. They have a delegated authority in the world, but they have very little power. So when there is a crisis in this nation or that nation, they don't have the power to do anything about that, and therefore they have to draw on the soldiers and the military of other nations, primarily the Americans. So what is happening in Afghanistan at the moment, and maybe other countries, the United Nations may wish to exercise the authority, but they don't have the power or the ability to do it. And therefore, you can't exercise authority from weakness. You may have the authority, but you can't exercise it from weakness. You have to have the right to use it. Authority can be abused. Power can be abused. The school bully in the playground has a lot of power, but he has no authority. The United Nations has a lot of authority, but very little power. So the two things have to go together. And the school bully might be able to bully other kids in the classroom or in the playground purely and simply because he's bigger and stronger than anybody else. And he may have the power to do it, but he doesn't have the right to do it. He doesn't have the authority to do it. I have the power to break the speed limit. But I don't have the authority to break the speed limit. But I have the ability to do it. And most of us have cars that can do more than 70 on a motorway. I'm not quite sure how fast my car can go. The speedometer goes up to 160. Wishful thinking. I won't tell you how fast I've ever had the car, but that's a secret between me and the Lord. And fortunately, not a policeman. But I have the power to break the speed limit, but I don't have the authority to break the speed limit. And the other word, key word, is delegated. Real authority has to be given to you. You cannot give it to yourself. It has to be delegated. And if we can have the next slide, let me just illustrate this for a moment. Do we have the picture of the police, the Queen and the police? That's the picture I'm looking for. You look at the policeman at the bottom of the diagram. The policeman comes under the authority of Parliament. So Parliament gives to the policeman the power, it delegates, and it gives the right to exercise that authority. Now, you can have, some of you have heard me use this illustration before, so forgive me if you have. But you can have a petite little policewoman stand up in the middle of the high street in Taunton and hold up the traffic, and everybody stops. I stand in the middle of the high street in Taunton, 6'2" of rippling muscle. And command this. I don't know why that's funny. And command the traffic to stop, and they don't. They just run me over. Because I'm not under the authority of Parliament. The policeman is. And because they are under that authority, it's been delegated to them, they've been given power and the right to exercise that authority. Therefore, the policeman can stand up, or the policewoman can stand up and exercise that authority and stop the traffic. Now, the policeman can step out from under the authority and use his own authority, his own selfish authority, possibly. And from time to time, tragically, we see it in the papers and we hear about it, where a policeman exercises their own authority because they've stepped out from under authority. Now, I put the Queen at the top because the Queen, theoretically, of course, is the head of state, and therefore all authority comes under her. In practical terms, of course, it comes under Parliament. And therefore, the policeman can exercise authority in that situation because they've been delegated to them, they have the right to use it, and they have the power to use it. Now, we see this in the world. Now, you can put a headmaster or a parent or anybody else in that position, but we'll just use the policeman as an example. Now, how does this work in the spiritual realm? One of the key principles that we need to understand is the greater the power of the authority we are under means the greater the power we have. Just digest that for a moment. The greater the power of the authority you are under means the greater the power you have. The policeman has the authority of Parliament, and therefore the policeman can exercise the authority of Parliament and can apply the law. Now, we'll see this in a moment, but you and I are under the authority of God. And therefore, God has immense power. And there are many wonderful promises of the power that God has given to his people. You and I as Christians, you and I as believers, we come under the authority of God, who has immense power, and therefore we have the power that he has. Do you understand that principle? It's very important that we understand that. Now let's just see how this works in practice. If you turn to Matthew chapter 8...
I think I've got the... where are we? Do I mean Mark? I've got the wrong book, I think. Somebody help me. Where does the story of Cornelius come? Sorry, where? Okay, right. Yes, that's right. There we are. Now, I won't take time to read this story, but a centurion, a Roman soldier, comes to Jesus and he talks about his servant who is sick, and he wants Jesus to heal this man who's at home paralyzed and in verse 6 in terrible suffering. And Jesus says to the Roman soldier, "I'll go and heal him." And the centurion says, "Lord, you know, I don't deserve you to come under my roof. Just say the word, and it will happen. And I myself am a man under authority with soldiers under me, and I tell this one go, and he goes, and that one come, and he comes, and I say to my servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he was astonished. Now, why was he astonished? What had the centurion said that astonished him? Because the centurion said, "I am a soldier and I'm a man under authority. And the authority that I'm given is by the general and whoever it is in the Roman army who's the next step up from him. And ultimately, of course, the emperor, Caesar." And he says, "I come under the authority of Caesar as the policeman comes under the authority of Parliament. And I say to a soldier, stand up, and he stands up. I say to him, jump, and he jumps. I give orders. I don't say to a soldier, some of us have been in the army, and we know that sergeant majors don't say to a soldier, would you like to stand up or would you like to march if you wouldn't be so kind? I mean, they don't do that. They give orders and they command and they shout at you and yell at you. And you jump. That's how soldiers work. And the centurion says, that's how I operate. And he said to Jesus, I know that's how you operate. And Jesus was astonished because of all the people, the Pharisees, the scribes, the teachers of the law, the Jewish people who'd been following him around, a Roman soldier had twigged something that they didn't twig. And that was that Jesus exercised an authority because he was under authority. You see, Jesus said, I cannot do anything on my own account. I can only operate under the authority that my Father gives me. And the centurion, I'm reading something into the story, but I believe this is pretty much how it happens. The centurion looked at Jesus and he saw the healings, or he heard about the healings that were going on, and he said to himself, how on earth is this guy doing this? How's he healing somebody? How's he driving out evil spirits? How's this guy doing it? And he thought, I realize how he's doing it because I can see in his life something that I see in my life. And he looked at Jesus and he says, I realize how he's doing it. He's coming under the authority of God. The greater the power of the authority that you are under means the greater the power you have. And Jesus was coming under the authority of God, and therefore he has the power of God. And therefore he could heal any sickness, he could drive out any demonic activity, he could take authority in that situation and command it to happen, and it happened. And the centurion said, that's exactly how I operate as a military officer. I command a soldier to do X, Y, or Z, and he does it. And if he doesn't do it, then the manure falls on him. You very nearly had another word. The manure falls on him. I suppose this is being recorded, so... Jesus said... In John 5, the Son of Man can do nothing by himself, only what he sees his Father doing. In Hebrews 5:7, he was heard because of his submission. To who? Who on earth did Jesus submit to? To his Father. Philippians 2, he was obedient. To who? His Father. Matthew 28, all authority, Jesus said, has been given to me. He was a man of authority because he was under authority. And when we talk about kingdom authority, which God gives to you and me, and we'll explain how this works out in practice in a few minutes. When we talk about the authority that God gives to us, we are under the authority, his authority, and because we are under his authority, we have his power. Now, if you step out from under the authority of God, as if a policeman steps out from under the authority of Parliament, then you can be in problem. You can have problems. And what happens is you step into a situation of weakness. Because you can only remain in that situation of power while you're under authority. Think about the policeman for the moment. He's only in a position of power because he's under the authority of Parliament. If he steps into independent action, he doesn't have the authority of Parliament, therefore he doesn't have the power of Parliament. Now, if you and I step out from under the authority of God, then we step out under our own authority, and my authority doesn't have the power that his authority has. And that's exactly how Jesus functioned, and that's exactly how the Roman soldier, he saw it, he twigged something. And that's why Jesus said, I've never seen such faith in the whole of Israel. Here's this guy who's not even a Jew, he's a Gentile. I mean, in our terminology, he's not even a Christian, and he's twigged something that is vitally important that we understand as we want to exercise kingdom authority. Okay, let's just move on and apply this to ourselves. If we could have the next slide. We are under God's authority, we are under the authority of the Word, and we are under the authority of our leaders. If we just go back to the Garden of Eden for a moment. Adam and Eve, Pastor Judith was talking about this a few weeks back, Adam and Eve were given power to rule over creation. We hear some rubbish, I believe, about the whole environmental issue. Mankind has the power and authority to rule over the environment. We don't have the power or authority to abuse it or to misuse it, but we do have the power to rule over it. Animals do not have the same rights as people. We have been given power to rule over the animal kingdom. Animals do have rights. And we have an organization, the RSPCA, who seek to uphold those rights. We don't have the power or the authority to abuse them or to misuse them, but we do have power, we do have authority over them. And this is what was happening in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve were given authority to rule over creation. And at that point, they were sinless. They were perfect. They were holy, if you like. They were righteous. And because they were totally under authority of God, they hadn't sinned yet. Because they were totally under the authority of God, they had the power to rule over creation. Now what happened, as we know, is they sinned. What was their sin? And please don't say it was eating an apple. What was their sin? Their sin was they didn't do what God told them to do. What did God tell them to do? He said, take control over the Garden of Eden, and there's one thing you mustn't do, is eat of the fruit of that particular tree. The serpent comes along and distorts the whole thing and says, it's sweet, it's nice, why don't you do it? Why don't you be like God? And they sinned. Their sin wasn't eating an apple, taking a bite out of a piece of fruit. In the realm of sin, it's not exactly a very serious thing, is it? Their sin was they stepped out from under the authority of God. And because they stepped out from under the authority of God, they lost the power to rule over creation. And creation began to rule over them. Now what happened by the grace and mercy of God is that by the grace of God and what Jesus did on the cross, that rebellion has been dealt with. That sin has been dealt with, if you like. And therefore, we can come under his authority again. And if we come under his authority again, then we have the delegated power and the right to heal the sick. I have the power to speak to an evil spirit and command it to come out. This is why we have learned over the recent years that yes, we do pray for the sick, we do pray for disease, but you command disease. You speak to a headache. Years ago, I used to suffer a lot from headaches and migraine-type headaches. And some of you will know that if you've ever had migraine-type headaches, you'll know that the first symptom you have is your peripheral vision begins to go fuzzy. And after it's happened a few times, you begin to learn, you know, by experience, this is what's going on. And on occasions, I believe God's healed me of that, but on occasions I get attacked by a migraine headache. And I know it's happening, or I know it's going to happen. I know that I can recognize the early symptoms, and I know that my peripheral vision begins to go fuzzy. And I've had the experience of standing up speaking and preaching, and while I've been standing up there speaking and preaching, I thought, uh-oh, my peripheral vision is going fuzzy. and I've just spoken to it in the name of Jesus. I didn't tell anybody what was going on. I just carried on speaking, but in my spirit, I spoke to that headache, and I just said, stop, in the name of Jesus. I refuse to receive you. And it went. Speak to a headache. Speak to a cold. Speak to cancer. There's something demonic about cancer. Speak to it. Yes, we pray for one another, we care for one another, we exercise compassion for one another. But if we're under the authority of God, and gracious me, what has the power of, you know, what power has God got? How on earth can you express it? It's immense, it's huge, it's, you know, words fail me. But it's there. And as the policeman can I operate under the authority of Parliament, I can operate under the authority of God, and so can you. And the greater the power of the authority we are under means the greater the power we have. We are under the authority of God. This is why we can say, we can pray for the sick and we can see them healed. Now that authority depends on the extent to which we submit to the authority of God. If we rebel, and if we operate independently or in a selfish way, then we lose the right. There's a breakdown. Now, we're also under the authority of the Word. You've heard it before. The Bible is the Word of God. I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. What it says is wrong is wrong. Yeah. And what it says is right is right. Yeah. And I may well have an opinion on this or that issue, but in one sense my opinion is irrelevant. Because I don't live by my opinions, I live by the Word of God.
Amen.
And we have issues in our society today where, you know, I mean, I suppose an issue which has come up quite recently, it's raised its head from time to time, but it's been in the news in the last week or so, is the whole issue of allowing people who have terminal illness to die or to take their own life. And if somebody assists in that, will they or will they not be prosecuted? What's your opinion? What's my opinion? Now, in one sense, we have an opinion, but in another sense, my opinion is subject to the Word of God. And there are other issues. I mean, homosexuality is an issue. It's a big issue in our society. What is my opinion? In one sense, it's irrelevant what my opinion is. I want to know what God thinks. Because I'm under the authority of God, and the Word of God is the revealed truth of God. And this is why, as Pastor Judith has been speaking in the last week or so, about we live by the Spirit, not by our opinions. And not why what I think. We live by the Spirit and by the Word of God. And the Bible, by the Spirit, reveals what God has, what God's opinion is and what God wants. Now we need to say it, we need to have love and compassion, but we need to be clear. The thing that really, I think it bugs us all, isn't it? That much of what comes across from Christian leaders is so wishy-washy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I can understand the position that they're in, that they're trying not to be offensive to this group or to that group, and they're trying to be kind and compassionate and all the rest of it, but there needs to be a cutting edge. 2 + 2 = 4. It doesn't equal 5 or 6 or 7. There is an objective standard, and that standard is God's standard, and it's His Word. And I can want 2 + 2 = 5 or 6 or 7 till I'm blue in the face, but it doesn't. It equals 4. That's right, isn't it? And it's either right or it's wrong.
Yes.
I remember years ago speaking to one teacher, and they said, a maths teacher, and said, you mustn't say anything is wrong. Oh, this is ridiculous. There are things that are wrong. And there are things that are right. And, you know, we're under the word of God. There is a certain body of opinion, I don't want to dwell on this, but there's a certain body of opinion which says I don't need the word of God because I have the Spirit. And I can just listen to the Spirit. That's super spiritual rubbish. We need the word of God.
Amen.
And the word of God, God wants to reveal that to us, the truth of it. And I am under that authority. And therefore I can't say to somebody 2 + 2 = 5 because they would like it to equal 5 and because it may seem compassionate to tell them, yes, it can equal 5. It doesn't. And this issue and that issue, I've been a pastor for over 40 years and therefore I hope I have a heart of compassion and love to people. But there are times when you've got to say to people, it's wrong. Sorry, chum, it's wrong. That way is wrong, this way is right. Because we're under the authority of the Word of God. And we can't play games with Scripture. Thirdly, we're under the authority of our leaders. It's a basic New Testament principle that we express our submission to God by our submission to human authority. We cannot say I'm under the authority of God, but I'm not under the authority of my leaders. Now that's true in the spiritual realm, but it's also true in the secular realm. And the Bible makes it very clear that we are under the authority of our secular leaders. We are under the authority of our prime minister. We may not like him. We may disagree or we may not disagree with his policies. In a few weeks' time or a few months' time, we have an election and you may be pleased by the result or you may not be pleased by the result, but they are the leaders of our nation. And we need to honour them and we need to respect them. And if you rebel against the laws which the Parliament passes, which we may not like, and good grief, quite a number of them I don't like. But if you rebel against them, that's chaos and that's anarchy. Yeah. And you see that in some societies. But we are also under the authority of our spiritual leaders. We are under the authority of Pastor Judith. I'm under the authority of Pastor Judith. She used to be one of my students. The water has flown under the bridge and now I'm under her authority. That's okay because that's a biblical principle and it's spelt out many times in Scripture. Some of you will remember, may not be a name known to, that just comes off the mind, but in Moses' time there was the sin of Korah. Korah was an individual who said to Moses, I'm just as good as you are. I can hear God as you can. I'm not going to come under your authority. I'm not going to come under your leadership. And she and a group acted in rebellion and independence and pride. And it's an affliction in our society of rebellion against authority. We see it in schools. We see it in the home. We see it with parents and their behavior towards their children. I can't tick my kids off. Good grief, why not? There was somebody on the television the other night, this guy, I think it was from Exeter, who got into an Islamic site where they were taught how to make bombs or something. And the mother was interviewed. And the thing that struck both June and I was the mother took no responsibility for that situation whatsoever. And here was her son with a computer in his bedroom learning about militant Islamic issues and how to make a bomb. And I thought to myself, why on earth is that kid got a... Well, he's not a kid, he was a teenager. But why on earth has he got a computer in his bedroom? Yeah. And some people might say, well, that's normal, isn't it? He jolly well shouldn't be. I mean, our advice to parents is you shouldn't let your kids have computers in their bedrooms. You haven't got a clue what they're watching. I mean, this kid was watching how to make a bomb. And his mother was totally oblivious of it. And I wanted to say to her, why on earth has he got a computer in his bedroom on the internet? And I should imagine her turning around and saying to me, well, that's what kids do these days, isn't it? And that's why some of them getting into problems and getting into trouble. I have a lot of sympathy for teachers these days. I think they have a hard life. You know, you hear stories, and you see it in hospitals too, where nurses and doctors are attacked in A&E departments. You see it on the football pitch, where the referee blows a foul and they all cluster around him and they push him and they shove him and they yell at him and they abuse him. There's no respect for authority. And the result is chaos. So we are under the authority of the word and we are also under the authority of our leaders. Now, finally, we are to use our authority. Now, we're soldiers. Let's have our soldier up. It's not a picture of a new assistant pastor. It's the exceedingly great army. Don't laugh. The Vikings were ferocious fighters, and they created havoc on the northeast coast of England. And we have the authority to say, halt! Who goes there? Friend or foe? Because you're a friend, I welcome you. If you're a foe, I'm going to kick you out. So let's just look at several areas where we can do that. We can have the final slide. We're to use our authority. This is just an example of the areas where we're to use our authority. We are to use our authority in doctrine and belief. We really touched on this already. Not my opinion, it's the word of God. And teachers are to teach truth. They're to teach doctrine. They're to teach what we believe as Christians. As Christians, it's not true anything goes. We can believe what we like. We can't. We're under the authority of doctrine and belief through the word. We're under the authority of moral behavior. There is certain behavior which is unacceptable to God. And there are lists in Scripture, and in that passage in Titus chapter 2, lists various ones. I won't take time to go through them all. But adultery, stealing, lying, addictions, etc., etc., etc. We are under the authority of God's standard in terms of moral behavior. We're under the authority of God in terms of worship. The Corinthian church was a church where their morning services were absolutely chaotic. And Paul had to write to them and say, you need to bring order into these situations. We're under authority of the word of God in prophecy. I've heard so many over the years. I've been a Christian now for 50 years. I've been baptized in the Spirit for over 40 years. And I suppose the number of times, thus saith the Lord. And that's, I think to myself, that's not God at all. We had somebody in Horsham once who stood up at Christmas and said, thus saith the Lord, I wish you all a happy Christmas and a prosperous new year. Well, it's a very nice word. I was in a meeting in the Central Hall, Westminster, once. 4,000 people. And an Australian, the fact that he was Australian didn't really meet, was totally irrelevant, but it's just that it was the sort of Australian twang that came across. So there'd be no blessing on this meeting. You're standing, if you know anything about the Central Hall, Westminster, there's a big gallery at the top. And he was standing in the front row. There'd be no blessing on this meeting while the ladies continue to wear trousers. And as for the Roman Catholics present, and the person who was leading the meeting said, stop. Stop. We have to test prophecy. We have authority over our minds. Let me just give you a small examination. I wonder how many of you in the last half hour or so while I've been speaking, I wonder how many of you, your minds have gone walkies. I haven't seen anybody go to sleep, which is always encouraging. But your mind has gone walkies. You've been listening to me and then suddenly you find yourself thinking about lunch. Or is it going to be raining this afternoon because I wanted to do something in the garden or wash the car? Or I'm wondering what's happening with the dog at home because he's not completely house trained yet. And whether he's pooped everywhere and your mind just goes walkies. And then you think, I really must listen to this guy and see what he's saying. And you bring your mind back again. And then a few minutes later, it goes walkies again. And Paul, in that passage, he said, take every thought captive. Now, we can make jokes about this, but some of these thoughts are quite serious. Lustful thoughts, improper thoughts, covetous thoughts, jealous thoughts, angry thoughts. You have authority over your mind. So take every thought captive. Don't have a prayer meeting about it. Don't fill in a card. You don't need a card. And Pastor Judith or Pastor Andrea to pray for. You don't need to come forward. You do it. You have authority. You take authority and you command that lustful thought or whatever it is to go in the name of Jesus. If it comes back again, then take authority over it again and kick it out. And it comes back again, kick it out again. And I guess some of us have certain areas where in our minds are a battleground, or they can be. And the battleground for me, I mean, God doesn't come, the enemy doesn't come to, it's not a battleground for me to go out and buy a Rolls Royce, assuming I could afford one. I don't want a Rolls Royce. I did dream about a Porsche the other night, but... We have authority over our bodies. We have authority over our bodies. We have authority over our appetites. And our appetites may be a jam donut or it may be heroin. But we have authority. Your weakness might be smoking. Speak to it. Speak to it. Command. You have authority. You have authority over this, that, or the other, whatever is your appetite. We have authority over sickness and evil spirits. We've really touched on this. We have authority over all the work of the enemy. Now we could go on. Parents, you have authority in your home over your children. Teachers, you have authority. I know it's difficult, I know it's hard, but you have authority. We don't defeat the enemy. The enemy has been defeated. But the enemy is still active. And therefore we need to take authority over any action of the enemy. If the enemy steps out of line, order him back. Get behind me. Let's have this soldier back. I really did like the... here is our soldier. He's got the sword of the Spirit. He's got the helmet of salvation. He's got the shield of faith. There he is. Mighty man of God. Yes, I know he looks a bit stupid, but... You know, we're talking about an exceedingly great army. Well, there's our first candidate. Don't tell Pastor Judith that, but... And we need to say, halt! Who goes there? And if you discern the enemy, then take authority over him or her or it. And if it's a friend, then say, you're welcome. In the name of Jesus. Let's pray together.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.